KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a clear to partly cloudy sky, 1 degree below zero in Atlantic. We look for it to be sunny to partly sunny today with a few flurries possible this afternoon, a high of 22. A wind chill advisory still remains in effect for a good portion of the listening area through noon today. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. Well, temperatures and accompanying wind chill indices are creating some dangerous situations for anyone who ventures outdoors today with exposed skin. Jody Hoffman, supervisor of nursing at Floyd Valley Hospital, says frostbite can occur before we even realize any symptoms.
Sometimes people will use those little light mittens on, and you think that your fingers are okay, they're cold, but you could still be developing frostbite. You know, they're still covered, but you don't have enough protection in those gloves to still protect your fingers. And you may have those little earmuff things on, and you think, oh, your ears are covered, but yet you still have a little bit of exposure maybe on the top of the ear.
Hoffman says the symptoms can vary based on the severity of the frostbite.
You'll feel some burning, numbness, tingling. They maybe even itch, and they're very cold. In the milder cases, they may become white, and they kind of look like they're frozen. And you can't, when you press on them, they don't really want to indent or anything like that.
And she says that you should not attempt to, or rather, she says, if left untreated, things can get much worse.
In the severe cases, the person will not have any sensation. They won't be able to feel their fingers or whatever. Swelling will occur. They can get maybe some blood blisters in those areas. The skin will start to become a little discolored, white to yellow looking. They may even turn purple.
And she says you should not attempt to warm such skin if you think it's going to get frozen again.
Rewarming it, you know, on an open fire or dry heat is not suggested. But putting the infected, like fingers or something, in warm water is okay, but not hot water. Give the individual warm fluids to drink. No caffeine or alcohol is recommended. That will just cause some dehydration and take the fluid away from the tissues. And never massage or rub the affected areas.
Hoffman said you should seek medical treatment when you notice the frostbite symptoms. News time is 8:02.
Noise is one of the most common causes of hearing loss and one of the most common occupational illnesses in the United States. This is audiologist Doug Leonard from ASI. It only takes a single gunshot to permanently damage your hearing. It's just that quick. Repeated workplace exposure to loud equipment can also impair your hearing. My challenge to you is to protect your hearing with these simple tips. At home, turn down the volume of the television, radio, stereo, and iPods. When using loud equipment at home, such as lawnmowers, leaf blowers, and string trimmers, wear hearing protection. And at work, use hearing protection even for brief noise exposure, such as impact wrenches or nail guns. Foam plugs, ear muffs, or better yet, custom molded hearing protection from ASI can all be effective. Because good hearing is so critical, make sure that your family and friends are aware of the hazards of noise exposure. Protect the hearing that you have now. Call ASI today, and together we will determine the best way to protect your hearing. ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
Officials in Shelby County say a county road department employee suffered only minor injuries following a rollover accident in a snowplow Wednesday. The sheriff's office said 45-year-old Tracy Klein of Harlan had been driving east on County Road F-58 in a 1998 Mack snowplow when the blowing snow blinded Klein. The plow then drifted onto the south shoulder and was pulled into the south ditch. Once in the ditch, the vehicle rolled over 1.5 times and came to rest on the driver's side. The accident took place just before 7 a.m. Wednesday, about 1/2 mile east of Elkhorn. The Elkhorn Fire Department responded and had to extricate Klein from the plow. He was transported to Murtaugh Hospital in Harlan for treatment. The Cass County Board of Supervisors were supposed to have met yesterday with a representative of the Jailers Union with regard to an exchange of collective bargaining proposals, but the AFSCME representative failed to show up. Regardless, Auditor Dale Centerman provided the media with copies of both proposals. There were many areas of the 3-year contract where the county and the Jailers Union disagree, and one of those areas concerns wages. The union proposes a 3.5% wage increase effective July the 1st for all steps and pay grades of the salary schedule and a shift differential increase amounting to 80 cents per hour for jailers, which would match that of deputies. The county instead proposes giving all deputies a base annual salary, which is 70% of the sheriff's annual base salary. All remaining non-deputy union members would receive a 3% salary increase. Cass County said it does also not agree with the union with regard to discussion about the sheriff's office overtime policy and holiday time for regular full-time employees, which would allow 11 holidays instead of the previous 10 and would include Christmas Eve. The county also does not see eye to eye with the jailers union as far as standby and on-call pay is concerned, whereas the union proposes employees will be paid a minimum of 2 hours when called out while on standby. There are other issues for which the two sides do not agree, including the county's request that all union jail employees contribute more toward the cost of their insurance per month, beginning in year two of the three-year contract. The increase would amount to $20 the second year and $40 the third year. No date was set at the end of the supervisors' meeting Thursday for both sides to sit down and hold a closed session on the initial bargaining attempt, which is the next step in the negotiating process. Cass County Board of Supervisors did set February 13th and 20th as the dates for public hearings over a proposed amendment to the county's zoning ordinance, which would allow for the creation of a business that allows gun sales and service along with an indoor shooting range. Under the current zoning ordinance, such businesses are not allowed. The county's Planning and Zoning Commission approved the proposed amendment during its meeting January 24th and have forwarded their recommendation on to the Board of Supervisors, who will decide on the amendment's fate after two public hearings are held. A local man has proposed establishing a gun sales and repair and indoor shooting range business near Messina. Cass County Board of Supervisors on Thursday passed a resolution setting the gross load weight limits for certain secondary road bridges in the county. County Engineer Charles Marker explained that as part of the county's bridge inspection process, a consultant recommends any changes to posted weight limits based on the inspection results.
We currently have 46 bridges which are or will need to be posted. 46 that are below what they call legal limit, therefore you have to put one of those weight limit signs out there. If they didn't change, we still have to have the resolution saying that they are at that limit, but there are some new ones in here that maybe the weight limit drops. So not all 46 will require changing of the sign, but they all 46 have to have a sign up.
Marker says they inspect more than 230 bridges in the county.
So if only 46 out of those 230 are being posted, it's a large number. Don't doubt of that fact that there's 46 of them that are below legal limit, but percentage-wise, we're trying to hold our own and keep up there.
Supervisor Charles Reakin said setting lower limits would create some problems for crop producers because they would have to haul smaller loads more frequently. The solution, he said, would be to replace those structures with new bridges. He asked Marker if the issue was going to be more closely explored.
Because the more these weight limit bridges we drop weight limits on, these guys can't get across on 23-ton with semis, right?
That's correct.
Marker says with the money that's coming in from the state and or federal government for bridge replacement, though, it takes about 3 years to accumulate enough money to replace a bridge of any substantial size.
Money is not coming in fast enough to do them. We are replacing as many as we personally can with our own crews, but those are usually the shorter bridges, the ones that are in the 20, 40-foot range we can do, but still we can only do about three or four of those each.
And in other business, the supervisors passed a motion awarding a contract for the replacement of a 30-foot bridge over the Nishnabotna River on Lansing Road to Murphy Heavy Contracting Corporation of Anita, which had the low bid of $963,825. The bid amounted to 75% of the engineer's construction estimate. Work is expected to begin no later than May the 6th. Cass County naturalist Laura Canning announced Thursday the Cass County Conservation was awarded a Resource Enhancement and Protection Program, Conservation Education Program, Perpetuate a Good Idea grant, and that is for outdoor education classroom nature trunks. This Resources Enhancement mini grant provided funding for Cass County Conservation to complete two nature trunks that will be housed at the outdoor educational classroom in Messina. The project has six trunks total. The two are funded are the orienteering and the birds trunks. Each trunk will contain multi-grade activities on the topics for teachers to use at the outdoor educational classroom. Iowa's REAP CEP provides funding to public and private partners for natural and cultural resource projects, including water quality, wildlife habitat, soil conservation, parks, trails, historic preservation, and more. The Conservation Education Program, or CEP, is grants for programs that teach people of all ages about their environment and how to make intelligent, informed decisions about its well-being. If you'd like more information about the educational environmental opportunities in Cass County, you can contact Laura Canning at 769-2372. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour on KJAN, today's monthly jobs report finds that employers added 157,000 jobs in January and hiring was stronger over the past 2 years than previously thought. It provides reassurance that the job market held steady while economic growth sputtered. Most upbeat Labor Department report included one discouraging sign. The unemployment rate rose to 7.9% from 7.8% in December. The unemployment rate is calculated from a survey of households, while job gains come from a survey of employers. Former New York Mayor David Dinkins says his predecessor, Ed Koch, was a feisty guy who would tell you what he thinks. Well, Koch died early this morning in New York of congestive heart failure at the age of 88. Ed Koch, who served three terms as mayor of New York, said his biggest personal achievement was rallying New Yorkers in the face of a transit strike that crippled the city back in 1980. Koch's funeral will be held on Monday. And officials say a guard at the gate of the U.S. Embassy in Turkey's capital of Ankara was killed today when a suicide bomber blew himself up at the embassy entrance. The U.S. ambassador said there appears to be no damage to the building itself. At least one civilian was wounded. News time is 8:11.
Noise is one of the most common causes of hearing loss and one of the most common occupational illnesses in the United States. This is audiologist Doug Leonard from ASI. It only takes a single gunshot to permanently damage your hearing. It's just that quick. Repeated workplace exposure to loud equipment can also impair your hearing. My challenge to you is to protect your hearing with these simple tips. At home, turn down the volume of the television, radio, stereo, and iPods. When using loud equipment at home, such as lawnmowers, leaf blowers, and string trimmers, wear hearing protection. And at work, use hearing protection even for brief noise exposure, such as impact wrenches or nail guns. Foam plugs, ear muffs, or better yet, custom molded hearing protection from ASI can all be effective. Because good hearing is so critical, make sure that your family and friends are aware of the hazards of noise exposure. Protect the hearing that you have now. Call ASI today, and together we will determine the best way to protect your hearing. ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
In the funeral announcements, 86-year-old Northa Whitten, age 8 of Panora, died Tuesday at the Panora Nursing and Rehab Center. Memorial services for Northa Whitten will be today at 11 o'clock at Panora United Methodist Church. Twig Funeral Home in Panora is in charge of the arrangements. Vernon D. Wollenhouse, age 92 of rural Atlantic, died Tuesday at the Heritage House at Atlantic. Services for Vernon Wollenhouse will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at St. John's United Church of Christ, south of Lyman. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Donald Larson, age 77 of Manning, died Tuesday in Des Moines. Services for Don Larson will be Saturday at 10:30 at the United Methodist Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning is in charge of the arrangements. Richard Shear, age 58 of Coon Rapids, died Sunday at his home. Services for Richard Shear will be Saturday at 11 o'clock at Ascension Lutheran Church in Coon Rapids. Johnson and Woodhouse Funeral Home in Coon Rapids is in charge of the arrangements. Robert Mark Grove, age 65 of Shelby, died Tuesday at his home. A celebration of life service for Robert Grove will be held tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the Pauli Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. Billy Carl Marples, age 62 of Elkhorn, died Thursday at the Salem Nursing Home in Elkhorn. Services for Billy Marples will be held Tuesday at 11 o'clock at the First Baptist Church in Elkhorn. Pauli Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. And Beulah Crocker, age 92 of Manila and formerly of Cherokee, died Thursday at the Manila Manor. Services for Beulah Crocker will be held at a later date. The Odie Funeral Home in Manila is in charge of arrangements. That is a check of our news and funeral announcements brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.